bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
About a month ago, Shannon, I don't know if you recall, but about a month ago, the whole of South Australia was without power.
That was hard to miss. But yes, I do remember the massive blackout of South Australia 2016.
And the most startling thing for me about that was not so much that... not sure what's going on
not
there.
Not quite ready for that yet, Jess. So what was the startling thing for
the
you,
The most
Tess?
Startling thing for me was that our community leaders, our Prime Minister, actually blamed our reliance on renewable energy. I just find that astonishing. So we've actually asked Senator Janet Rice to actually come and join us and have a conversation about this morning. Are you there, Janet?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm warming up. I've just been handing out how to vote cards in the cold, very showery weather in Brunswick for the local government elections today.
There you go.
Well, that's someone committed to the cause. When you're up on a Saturday morning in blistering cold weather, that's someone committed.
That's right. But I'm now ensconced in the corner of a church hall, so it's quite warm in here, so that's fine.
Very good. Now tell us, Senator, what was your take on the dialogue and that came out in the midst of the blackout and straight after the blackout from the media, from other politicians, and the general commentary around it all?
Well, it was pretty extraordinary to be blaming renewables for what was really an extraordinary extreme weather event. And in fact, it's the type of extreme weather event that we're going to see more of as our climate is changing under the impacts of dangerous climate change. And the evidence just wasn't there, but it seems like, you know, truth is the first casualty if you're trying to be making a political point. And we've got people who have got this ideological campaign against renewables, and they're very happy to twist the information and to use the results, the impact of this extreme weather event to suit their purposes.
I actually find it absolutely astonishing, to be honest with you. I think that you travel around parts of the world. We were in Spain about 2 years ago, and at that point, 46% of all power, of all energy, came from renewable sources in a nation that's actually the size of New South Wales but twice the population of Australia. 46%. Germany are aiming towards 100%. They're going to phase out diesel fuel by 2020. How extraordinary is that?
It's amazing. And exactly. And in Germany, you think, well, you know, they're relying a lot on solar, and you just think of the solar resource that we've got in Australia compared to Germany, and we could really be world leaders, but we're being such laggards.
So,
and yet we know that if we're going to be tackling climate change, the most fundamental thing we need to be doing is to be stopping burning the polluting coal, gas and oil, and to be shifting to renewables. So, and yes, you know, we've got to reshape our energy supply systems to do that. There's a lot of investment work required, but that's the direction we need to be heading on. And if we're facing problems, well, then we've got to work out how to solve them, not just to say that, oh, well, it's renewables' fault and let's go back to dirty coal.
So in my mind, there's a bigger issue here, actually, Janice. It's not about the issue of renewable energy, but it's really about the issue around the believing evidence and scientific evidence as it's presented to us. Now, we had another senior community leader in this studio here a few weeks ago. We had Pauline Hanson, who actually just refused to believe the evidence around discrimination and mental health. You've got some doggies in the background, have you?
No. Got very noisy voters.
Oh, I see.
Passionate for democracy is what we like to see.
That's right.
Yes, totally engaged. So hopefully they believe the truth. I mean, I suppose the point that I'm actually trying to argue is that I have begun to see this drift away from believing scientific factual evidence, rejecting it outright for political gain. Is this...
Yes.
So tell us your thoughts about this.
It's a real concern, certainly, you know, sitting in the Senate and you just see this complete, it's denial of science. And I don't know how much, You know, to put the best spin on it, you can say that they're just not scientifically literate and they just don't understand the scientific process. And yet, you know, they're happy to get on planes, they're happy to use their mobile phones, happy to go off and have modern medicine look after them. But yet when it comes to something that they feel that they can't accept, like just dealing with rationally the fact that, you know, we do have to acknowledge and face up to climate change is real. We've got to change quite a bit of the way that we go about to organising our power supply and the way we do things in our society, because that's a challenge to the vested interests in our society. They're happy to just completely turf out any semblance of following scientific process.
But I find it astonishing.
To meet their ideology. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not logical, it's not rational, it's very much, you know, as I said right at the beginning, it's, you know, truth being the casualty and sort of the whole acceptance of science being the casualty. And it's extraordinary. And you sit there, you know, as I say, I sit there in the Senate and you listen to this and you hear the climate denialism and you know how the really substantial poor policy that's coming out of our current government, because they're just not facing up to the reality of what we need to do. And of course, what I find most frustrating is that, you know, if we made the shift as our Greens policy is to say we need to be, you know, moving to 90% renewables by 2030, if we made the shift to that, it's possible. We've got the technology now. Yes, you know, it needs investment. We need to get the grid to work right, but we can do it. And there are massive benefits that will flow from it. But we've got such powerful vested interests sort of really stopping that at the moment. And we've got to break through that. And it's going to be the power of the community that's going to enable us to break through it.
So, Senator, that's something that I wanted to ask. Moving forward, what is the most critical strategy in terms of making sure that people are on board with embracing renewable energy? Is it about a PR campaign to change hearts and minds, or is it about sort of denting the influence of these powerful interested groups that do have such an influence on policy?
I think it's more the latter, because we know that people support renewable energy. That's, you know, we have people who are uncertain because of the level of misinformation that's out in the community. You have people who are uncertain about, you know, how serious climate change really is. But when it comes to renewable energy, people want to support it. There's support for renewable energy. You have people who really want to be part of the solution, to be, you know, putting the solar panels on their roofs, to be investing in green energy and clean energy. Yet the odds are still stacked against people. So we need to have, you know, action at a local level and just support that action. But we need to have that action at the political level as well, which for me, now I've been passionate about taking action on climate right since I was a science student at uni, you know, when I was in my 20s, and knowing that we've got to have, you know, the clear science, we've got to have community action, but we need to have people in our parliaments who can translate that into action as well. So our real challenge is when it comes to people, you know, voting, whether it's at local government elections today or state or federal elections, to be having the, you know, the really big issue that we're facing because of climate change at the forefront of them making their decisions to who they're going to vote for.
Absolutely. So just switching gears a little bit, you're filling in quite the big shoes of former Senator Robert Sims as the LGBTI spokesperson for the Greens Party. Just from your perspective, I mean, we know for a fact marriage equality really dominates the conversation around LGBTI issues.
And we don't want to talk about
and
that today.
No, but that's not what we want to talk about. We want to ask
we're
you...
We're sick of it, actually.
We know that...
I wish we could just get it over and done with, so that we'd be focusing on all the other issues.
Well, this is the opportunity. The opportunity that I want to ask you, as someone who obviously, you know, you're the spokesperson for the Australian Greens. What are the pressing, important priorities for in terms of LGBTI policy, in your opinion, other than marriage equality? Please don't bring up marriage equality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's still discrimination. I mean, certainly in terms of federal discrimination, so marriage equality is the big one that's still there. But getting access to hormones for trans young people is another big issue that I've been working on. But it's really, there's a whole raft of federal and state legislation that is still discriminatory against the lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans and intersex community. And so it's tackling those changes. All the religious exemptions that are currently in the laws, for example, you know, for religious schools and religious hospitals who are able to discriminate against who they employ. And we've still clearly, as we've seen with the debate over the marriage equality plebiscite, there's still an awful lot of homophobia and transphobia and really nasty, you know, prejudice and violence and hate that we really need to be just sort of building that sense of equality and acceptance for everybody, and everybody being celebrated for who they are, you know, regardless of their gender or their sexuality.
So what are the big pieces of reform work? I mean, there's the marriage equality piece, but when you talk about discrimination, you're talking about legislative discrimination or cultural discrimination or social discrimination. What are the pieces of work that need to be tackled in this space?
Well, most of it, you know, there are some, certainly religious exemptions is where there needs to be legislative change still, but most of it is really implementing and getting support to the existing legislation that we have and having the support systems. You know, the attacks on the Safe School Coalition, for example, are a case in point, where we've had some really good programs that have been running at schools that are now under threat. So it's really bolstering those and getting the resources in to be supporting young lesbian, gay, bi and trans people in schools, you know, right through their schools and then right through to, you know, working at the other end of the life spectrum, say in aged care, where there's still a lot of discrimination against same-sex couples in aged care settings. So it's really resourcing and putting in, you know, training and support across the whole spectrum of services and people that are working with LGBTI people in the community.
Janet, thank you very much. We've actually ran out of time, unfortunately. Run out of time, and I should have said.
That's right. And I've got to get off. I've got to jump on my bicycle. I'm off now to be handing out how-to-vote cards in Port Phillip. So
That's quite a hike.
It'll be about 10K. And it's not raining at the moment, at least here in Brunswick. So we'll see what it's like as I head south.
I admire that. I love how you're like, oh, it's just 10K. I couldn't even dream of doing that.
It sounds like you're being a very good greenie,
Janice.
It'll be
far quicker and more efficient than if any other way of travelling here from Brunswick to St Kilda, I can tell you that.
Round of applause to you, Senator. We definitely admire that.
Have a great day. Thank you for coming on board this morning.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.